I'm Derek Outley. I'm a pastor. They actually called me a pastor. And I don't think you're supposed to clap for that, but that's an amazing thing for you guys. Okay, I get it. Yeah, wow, oh my gosh, wow. I am not the lead pastor, so if it's your first time at Church on the Rock, welcome to church. We're so glad that you're here. I want to encourage you to come back and check out our lead pastor, Pastor Josh, when he is here. I am the substitute teacher. So that requires some things out of you guys. One, that requires I need you to behave and act like the normal teachers here, okay? Don't try and do any shenanigans or jokes or anything like that on me, okay? Because I'm gonna tell Pastor Josh if you do. And it's an honor to speak. Anytime I come on the stage, I consider it an amazing honor to share, to speak, and to be just up here with such an amazing church. We have an amazing church. I don't know if you know that, but yeah, you can, if you don't believe me, drive around and try churches. It's tough to find a good church. It's tough to find a Jesus-centered church that is grounded in Christ, that isn't overly religious, that isn't a little bit scary, that doesn't pull out the snakes sometimes. You know, it's hard to find a church that isn't completely just a dead church. It's awesome to find a Jesus-centered, life-giving church that just loves Jesus and loves people, and it's awesome. So you guys go to a great church. You guys got a great pastor. I don't know if you know that. He's a great man of God. I've tried to throw him off. I tried to get him to. I know he's not Jesus and he's not perfect, but he's way closer to them than I am. You guys have a great church. We have an awesome church, and we're in this series called Fully Devoted. And it's been a really fun series. We're kind of talking about what it is to be fully devoted to God. What does that look like? What does that look like for you and I? And I found this verse in Joshua 5 to kind of help give context to the verse in Acts that we're going to read in a little bit. I really want to give you guys some context on what's happening in Joshua's story. Joshua is this, he took over for Moses. So Moses died. The children of Israel were led out of Egypt by Moses. Moses is the guy that went up on the mountain and got the Ten Commandments. Moses is the guy that did all the things in front of Pharaoh. Moses is the guy who had the staff, who could part the Red Sea through the power of God. Moses. And then when Moses dies, Joshua gets the role. How many of you guys want to follow the leader of Moses? And he's nervous, and he's scared, and he doesn't know what to do. In the Bible, if you read in the book of Joshua, God is constantly telling him, you can do it. You can do it. Don't fear. Be courageous. Don't fear. Be courageous. And we're coming up on a story where Joshua is about to go into Jericho. Jericho is the first city that is blocking them from getting to the promised land that God has called them to. And it's not just a little city. It's not a little village with huts. It is a giant city with walls that are so wide that they can race two chariots on top of side by side. And Joshua is told by God that you need to go and overtake this city. And Joshua is now faced with an impossible mission that he doesn't know how to do. He's not a general over an army. He hasn't been trained for this. He was just called by God to do this. And he doesn't know exactly what he's going to do, but we find that Joshua is being encountered by an angel. This is pre-Jericho. So this is kind of like the story behind the story. The Jericho story is coming up, but before that, something special happens. Something special happens. In verse 13, the angel comes to him, and he's standing there with a sword drawn. I don't know how awesome it would be to see an angel standing there with a sword drawn at you. But it would be pretty awesome. And Joshua comes up knowing that he's about to fight Jericho, and he needs to know, is this guy standing in front of him? He's not sure if it's a man or what yet. Is this guy for him or against him? So Joshua asked him, are you for us or are you for our enemies? And I love the response of the angel. He says, no. So are you for us? No. Are you for our enemy? No. Okay. So what does this mean for me? And then the angel begins to say some amazing things, and he's pretty much letting Joshua know something. Joshua, I am not for you. I'm not for Jericho. I am for God. And he begins to tell Joshua some things that are pretty powerful. And I feel like with everything that's going on in our world, in our country, and maybe even in our hearts, like, we need to be reminded of the same thing that Joshua was reminded of, that there's something bigger happening. Because if I get caught up in the walls of Jericho, I will forget exactly how I'm going to beat Jericho, and I'll think I got to do it on my own, and I'll begin to look at things all wrong. And maybe Joshua was kind of doing the same thing. He was coming up with ways that he would beat Jericho. How can I do this? How can I do it? And we become experts sometimes at seeing things the way we want to see them instead of seeing them the way God wants to see them. Anybody else got a... And we become really good at seeing what God is not doing. Anybody else good at that? I know everything God isn't doing. I'm just not always aware of what he is doing. So I've been thinking a lot about this. And I've been thinking a lot about the year 2020. And maybe you guys keep pondering how crazy this year is. Like, every once in a while, you're just like, I can't believe this. And then the next day, you're like, I can't believe it even more. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember this, but we ran out of teepee. We ran out of toilet paper in America. And I know what you're thinking. That was like 10 years ago, Derek. No, that was like a couple months ago. That's how long this year has been. My wife put on social media, we need toilet paper. Will anyone sell us toilet paper? I'm paraphrasing. She got a response. They met at Target and did a toilet paper drug deal. This is 2020. They're opening the trunk, looking around. You got the money? Because I got the teepee. Oh, I mean, an industrial box of teepee. This person was toilet paper rich, right? And we were able to snag a bunch of toilet paper. This is 2020. There were killer hornets that tried to kill us all, apparently. This is a wild, astonishing year. And these are just the lighthearted things that have happened this year, not the crazy, heartbreaking things. I mean, I've been kind of pondering this thing that I have an issue actually that hasn't been diagnosed yet, but it's called mask anxiety. Does anybody have mask anxiety? Yeah, I'll tell you what it is. And if you wear a mask all the time and it doesn't bother you, God bless you, okay? And I do try to be respectful of others who are cautious and are aware of, you know, maybe their parents or someone else that's sick. But I am forgetful, and I will walk into places without a mask. All right, Lord, forgive me. Don't judge me too much. But about midway through this whole thing, I woke up on a Saturday morning. And I just want to tell you guys a mask anxiety story, okay? I woke up on Saturday morning and said, I'm going to do a lot of things today. I'm going to get a lot accomplished. I'm going to go to Ace Hardware. I'm going to knock out a bunch of honeydews. I'm going to just have a great day. So I get to Ace Hardware. And as I get out of the car and walk up, there's a giant sign. I mean, huge, maybe like this big. And it was huge to me. And it said, mask required. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I walk back to my car, open the door, look in there. My little mask is gone. All the masks that I stole from the church are gone. And well, surely my kids left one in the back seat. Look in the back seat. No, they're good kids. They didn't leave it in the back seat. I open the trunk up. Surely there's one in my backpack. Nope, not one in my backpack. Surely there's one like just shoved somewhere in between. I can't find a mask. They're not going to mind if I just walk in and grab a couple things without a mask, right? But mask anxiety was starting to build at me, right? So I'm going to walk in, and there's a greeter standing there. And I know they're probably going to say hi, but I know what they're actually going to say is, no mask, no entry. You get. And I'm like, oh, I don't. So, come on, you know that feeling? Like, I don't have a mask. Maybe I'll just go like this. I'm just going to walk. Hey, how you doing? No, I'll back up. So I back up and I go to the car and I'm like, God, you are going to provide a way, because I don't want to drive 18 minutes back home and then drive 18 minutes back to Ace and then drive 18. You know, I'm going to spend an hour of my day. I'm not going to get anything accomplished. 2020, you know? And So I said, Lord, you're going to provide. So I find the only thing that God provided, which was a sock. Lord, turn this sock into a mask. And so I put it across my face, and I, this might work. If I can just get it to like wrap around my ears, but it's a short sock. It's an ankle sock. All right, Lord, let's help me. Help me, Jesus. I don't think Jesus was helping me at all, but I found a razor blade, and I cut that thing like into a half of a sock, and I cut slits in it, and then I'm like, I don't know if this is a clean sock or not. It feels a little dry. Okay, no, don't say that. So I said, okay, Lord, I don't want to do this. Surely if I go in there, someone from the church or someone I know is going to be in there, I'm going to look crazy. I couldn't cut a straight line. It's all wavy and it's too thin, so it like barely covers. And Lord, you're going to provide. And right about that time, God provided Alan Bushell coming out. A friend of mine, he comes here. He does YWAM St. Augustine. He's coming out of ACE. And I'm like, oh, he's got a mask. Maybe God's going to give me his mask. So he, and I'm like, Alan, come here. And I'm sitting in my car, you know, I'm going to figure this thing out. And Alan's talking to me about everything. I can't listen to what he's saying because I just am staring at his mask. It is a beautiful mask. I am wanting Alan's mask. But I said, God, it's up to you. All right. I'm not going to do it. If you want, he's going to have to give me the mask. I don't even know if I should wear a mask. What is worse, walking in with somebody else's mask or a sock? Oh, man. So Alan doesn't offer me his mask. I said, God, it's not your will. Maybe I'll just go home. So I get in the car. I crank the car. I'm like, shut it off. No, I'm not giving up. The devil will not have my Saturday. I humble myself in the sight of the Lord and everyone at Ace Hardware, and I put that sock on my face, and I put that weird wavy sock on, and I went in the thing there and got what I needed from Ace Hardware. Give it up for Jesus. And I realized I have no pride at all in myself, and I have mask anxiety. This is a crazy, crazy year, wild year. Wild year. And I can find myself that if I'm not careful, I can begin to get all wrapped up in the things that are happening and the things that are happening around me, the craziness of life, the ups and downs of this year. I can find myself positioning myself incorrectly in this life as a Christian. I can find myself maybe looking to things I shouldn't be looking to, hoping in things I shouldn't be hoping in. I can find myself getting all distracted so quickly this year. Because I know that when I begin to see God correctly, everything else begins to line up in my life. And when I begin to see God incorrectly, everything else begins to overtake me and overpower me in life. And Joshua was standing there and the question that I think Joshua was maybe getting asked by God, and it doesn't say this in the verse, but I can't help but wonder if God was saying, what do you see, Joshua? Joshua, what do you see right now? And Joshua might say, I see Jericho. I see a gigantic wall. I see our army over here and their army behind that giant wall. I most likely see us getting defeated because of this giant wall, and I see that we're probably going to lose this war. And I can also see God saying, hey, Joshua, I need you to do something else. I need you to lift your head a little higher than the wall and keep going up and up and up, and I need you to look at me because I'm going to show you something amazing. And this is what's amazing about the text in Joshua. The angel doesn't tell him at that moment how to win the battle. He doesn't. In this moment, all the angel says to him is, you are on holy ground. The ground you are standing on is holy. You need to take your shoes off. This is a holy moment that you are in. Joshua, you need to pause and embrace this moment. Joshua, Moses is dead. Your yesterday is gone. Joshua, I know that you don't know the answer to your future. I know you don't know how to solve the issues that are coming towards you, but I need you to be in this moment right now, right here with God. Because if you can get this moment with me right, I can propel you. I can take you in. So Joshua 15:5. This is the verse we want to kind of highlight around right here. The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place that you are standing is holy." I love this. The place that you are standing is holy. Was it holy before? Maybe. But now, in this moment, Joshua is aware that it is holy right now. The presence of God was in the moment that he was in. And Joshua begins to see. And Joshua did so. You see that? And Joshua did so. Joshua begins to stop living in the past, to stop worrying about his future. And Joshua just takes a moment to be in the presence of the Almighty. And we as Christians, we need to take a moment and remember and be aware that God is in this moment. And the presence of God is never found in the past. And the presence of God is never found in our future, even though it may be in our future. The presence of God is always found in the moment right here and right now. I have this bad habit of taking electrical cords and breaking the ground off of them. It's easy to do. You can do it too. You just take a pair of pliers and you take, you get the two and you got the one on the bottom that's circular. Well, you can break it off. And you break it off and it will still work fine. All right, so I don't know why they even make the things. I broke them off of almost every single cord I have. Anybody else do that? I'm not an electrician. I just know that you can take one cord without one and one cord with one, and they'll work if you break that cord off. But if you don't have it, the one won't fit in the other. So I break them off. It's an awesomely bad habit. And I don't recommend it. Yeah, don't do this. Don't do as I say. Wait, do as I do? Wait, how's that saying go? So one day I decided to look up why I should not do this. There's got to be a reason they spent all this money making this ground. And I began to read this, and maybe this is for you right here. This is the Wikipedia, not the Bible, okay? By connecting the ground wire, if too much power begins to flow to the wrong area, the unwanted electricity will travel through the ground wire back to your electrical panel and trip the circuit breaker, stopping the flow of electricity and not letting your TV or computer blow up, right? That's what a ground wire does. I'm like, maybe that's why my air fryer doesn't work anymore, because it is broken. But for the ground wire to work, one, you can't break off the ground wire. Two, it must be connected to something that is actually in the ground. Like, it has to go into the ground for it to work. Like, at your house somewhere is a piece of metal that is going into the earth. And your house is powered by FPL, but it's grounded by the actual soil on your property. And we need the ground wire. All right, I'm going to keep reading. This is Wikipedia some more, okay? Some devices generate a lot of electrical noise, and they can be damaging to the device unless it's properly grounded, because that grounding can take in the extra noise and allow the device to continue to work. Can you guys see this at all, what I'm seeing right now? And here's what I felt God kind of showing me. Like, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if 2020 is just washing over you like a tidal wave right now, the noise that is coming in, the overload of material and noise and life that is coming at you, the chaos that is surrounding you, if you are not grounded in Christ, if you are not grounded in his presence, you will find yourself overloading. Overloading on news, overloading on COVID, overloading on the racism, overloading on the storms, overloading on the fires, overloading on the lack of toilet paper, whatever it is that is causing you. The devil doesn't care what it is. He just wants to overload your life so that you don't focus on God, so that you don't see things the way that God wants you to see them. And this verse is so awesome right here. Look at this verse in Matthew 6:34. Give your entire attention to what God is doing. When? Not in the future, not in the past, right now. Yeah. God is doing something right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with tomorrow or the hard things that are going to come up when they come up in his time. When the time comes, God is saying, hey, I want you to focus on the right now moment. Because the right now moment with God, I'm going to call it a wow moment with God. If you can get a wow moment with God, if you can get in the presence of God, maybe you need to take off your shoes and say, God, I'm just going to ground myself to you. I'm just going to ground myself to Jesus, the solid rock on which I stand. I'm going to ground myself in him. And if you can do the wow moment with God, I got a good feeling that he will show you how you're going to defeat your Jericho. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Because the story of Joshua goes on that he does defeat Jericho. That they do march around the wall seven times, and on the seventh day, seven times. And when they shout unto God, God brings the walls down, and it was a miracle, and it was amazing. But I can't help but wonder when I read chapter 6 if it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for what happened at the end of chapter 5. Like if Joshua tried to go into Jericho without the moment with God, without that holy ground moment, would he have had the victory? I don't know. I don't know. But I know this, when I'm completely dependent on God, when I'm completely dependent on him, how many times he provides, how many times I find him making a way, how many times I find that he is our way maker, that he, when I ground myself in him, that everything else seems to work out for my good. And if you look at the early church, if you go back and you look at the early church in Acts, you will find something awesome here. You will find this right here. Look at this verse. This is Acts 2, 42 and 43. We've been going over this verse every week, and I want to show you something awesome. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. So they check off, they check off, they check off all these things. But listen, everyone was filled with awe. It takes an all moment with God sometimes. Because when we get that all moment with God, look what happens next. Wonders and signs were happening. God was moving. They didn't do the wonders and signs. God did the wonders and signs, but he did them through his apostles. The wow moment with God, the holy all of God, the idea that God is something to be feared. If you're reading in some translations, the word all means fear. Like God is so reverent and so holy that they use such a strong word. This isn't like all a kitten. This is like all, like when like someone has a fear of spiders and they see a spider and they become overwhelmed and nothing else in the world matters. They just got to get away from the spider. The fear that is in them, all right, not the same, but similar to this all right here. They become just overwhelmed with God. The definition that I like is a total loss of self. Like you are being taken over by something or someone that is greater. Isn't that awesome? And I feel like today, the early church got something that we need to get. That before we can see God move, we got to get in his presence. We've got to put our hearts right before him. God, are you for us? Are you against us? God, are you for the Republicans? Or are you for the Democrats? And God is saying, no. He's saying no. He's saying, actually, you know what? No, I'm for me and I need you to get under me. It's not our nation under our nation. It's our nation under God. Yeah. In God we trust. It's in God we trust, and we can't get things flipped around. It is in God that we put our hope. It is in God that we're going to find our joy. It is all in God. And if we can take some moments and spend them with him and get alone with him and ground ourselves to him and begin to realize that God is moving and that God is stirring, I got a feeling that we can come into 2020 or we can come out of 2020 and we can be the church that he's called us to be. Yeah. I got a feeling if we don't, we're going to live just full of anxiety, full of fear, full of worry, full of doubt, full of the of things that aren't of God. Because see, we're praying that God would do miracles, but the miracles are the easy part because we don't do them. We can't do miracles. Only God can. The hard part for me is finding a place where I can be in awe of him, where I can be wowed by God. Because if we're not in awe of God, it isn't that he is less awesome. It is that I am somehow not seeing how awesome he is. And if God's not captivating your heart right now, I hate to tell you this, but it isn't because he's lacking something. It's because our focus is wrong. And if we don't see the beauty in Jesus, if God has lost something, it isn't so much that he's lost anything, it's that we've lost something in the way we see him. And I feel like he showed Joshua a wow moment. Like, hey, you need to realize how awesome I am, how big I am. He showed the early church something. They were in awe of God. And there's this constant struggle that every single one of us have. There's this constant struggle to take control and to try and figure it out and to kind of run the pace. Like, God, I know what you want. I'm going to run for you. And oftentimes we can find ourselves running and God's nowhere near us. So I'm going to choose, and maybe this is for you too. I'm going to choose to stop. I got a battle to face. I got a war in front of me. But I'm going to choose to stop and make sure that God, like you and I, we're connected. We're one. I'm grounded. Maybe you broke off that ground cord. And I'm going to connect back into you. I'm going to connect back into what you're saying. Because God isn't saying that he's for this or for that. He's saying, hey, are you for me? So maybe today you've kind of lost that. Maybe you've lost that connection to God. Maybe you've never had that connection to God. Maybe today you're saying, Pastor, I need to get connected back to God. I'm feeling fully overwhelmed. The electrical noise of this world is just flooding me. And maybe you're full of so many other things other than God right now. I just want to show you guys this awesome verse. Romans 10:13. This is how easy it is. This is how simple the gospel makes it. All right, don't overthink this. Everyone, that's you, that's me, if you want it to be, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I like how Pastor Josh highlights some things. I just wanted to highlight my favorite part of that verse. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How do you do it? Just call on him. How do you do it? Just call on him. I know, but you don't understand. I got all this stuff. Just call on God. Yeah, you don't understand what's happening in my world. I don't, but just call on him. I know, but you got to give me something else. I need something more. No, just call on him. It's not that this is the end. Don't think this is the end of it. This is the beginning of it. Like, we call on God. This is the beginning of the conversation. This is the connecting point. This is me regrounding back to him. I call on him. I call on the Lord. And I say, God, I don't know how. I don't know how I'm gonna make it. I don't know how you're gonna pull through. I don't know how you're gonna move. I don't know what's gonna happen, but if I can get alone with you and have a wow moment with you, the how will just fall into place. The moments that I wanna know how are too much for me. I don't know how God's gonna do it, but I know that God's gonna do it. I know he's gonna make a way. I know he's gonna provide. Maybe that's you. You need to pray this prayer right here. Jesus, I call on you. Maybe you need to recommit. Jesus, I'm gonna call on you. If you bow your heads and close your eyes, Father, we just thank you that because of your grace, Jesus, on the cross, because of your death on the cross, taking all of my sin, taking all of the things of this world upon you, that I can have a resurrection like you had, Jesus. That I can be born again, just as Jesus rose again, that I can be risen again, that I can find myself in you thanks to your Holy Spirit. But Lord, I need to start right now by just calling on you. I need to just call on you again. Maybe today you need to pray this prayer. If everybody would pray this prayer out loud with me, say, Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you guys give it up for anybody that prayed that prayer for the first time?